It's a great honor, and
He's a special man in Oregon history.
Yeah,
dear friend of mine.
Uh huh. So when did you first know him? Did you know him just when you got elected into the legislature?
That's the first time I met him when he was elected. He defeated a Republican in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him, and of course, in jest, I said to him, you know, I don't know how in the world you could ever be elected. Nobody can spell your name. He says to me, well, I don't know how you could be elected. There are too many Smiths. So that's the way we started. Anyway.
By the way, I did talk to Norm Smith yesterday.
Oh, did you? Good.
And so he said to say hello to Brother Smith.
Oh, thanks. Good. Norm's still working up there, I suppose.
Yeah, he's left the Ford Family Foundation, but yeah, he's doing some of his own things.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Vic, of course, later I was introduced to his business, and I'll never forget, I walked into his business in Portland, and he was in the back room where they kept the books, so I walked back there, and we were talking, and I looked up, and here was a person out looking through his material in his store, and I said, Vic, you got a customer out there. He said, it's a Democrat. I didn't ask him how he knew, but the guy finally left.
Yeah.
Nobody there to take care of him.
So, he's in the Senate. Yeah. You're in the House, become Speaker.
Right.
Did you deal with him much when he was in the Senate and you were in the House?
Not long, but...
Uh-huh.
But, of course, I was in the majority and he was in the minority.
Yeah. He still somewhat rues that he ran for the Senate at the same time the Republicans got the majority back.
Yeah.
In 64, right. Yeah.
But he was well respected, and later as governor, he portrayed himself as a balanced person, not a partisan politician, as we know them today. And he reached judgment on the basis of facts. He was fair.
Mm-hmm.
He was honest. And he made a huge name for himself as a politician, a businessman, and an honest man.
Mm-hmm. Did you see more partisanship when he was younger?
Oh.
Or was he reaching across the aisle?
Well, I saw a lot more in the House than he did, but we didn't have a lot in the House either. And very little in the Senate. When I got to the Senate, I think there were six members, Republican members, out of 30.
Wally Carson gleefully showed me the picture of all of you in the phone booth.
In the phone booth. Yeah, we got in the phone booth.
Yeah. So how was that caucus to work with?
Which caucus?
The Senate Republican caucus when you got there. Did you actually take caucus votes, or did you just go your own ways?
We basically went our own way. We couldn't.
Yeah.
We couldn't impasse any issue. We couldn't pass anything, or we couldn't stop anything.
Yeah.
So we kind of blended in, I guess you'd say.
How did you have an impact on what was going on?
Well, then we could go to Atiyah and try to convince him to veto, which he seldom, if he ever did, much.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the threat was there.
Yeah.
So the Democrats thought maybe they better try to get along with us,
mm-hmm.
because we might impact their way of thinking.
Yeah, so it becomes a more powerful caucus when Atiyah becomes governor.
Oh, no question.
And you have that extra leverage.
No question.
Yeah. When Vic becomes governor, you become the minority leader.
Mm-hmm.
In that first 1979 session when Vic is governor, it's been described by several people as kind of the peak of Oregon tax revenue. This is when you decide eventually to give back hundreds of millions of dollars. The kicker comes up. Were you involved in the negotiations over the kicker or any of the tax refunds ideas, those kinds of things?
Well, we were all involved in the kicker, which was a way of saving money for taxpayers when everybody knew that the government was not going to save money for taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we saw it as a way to control outlandish spending.
Yeah.
And I was involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who came up with the idea for the kicker?
No, I don't know, except that we were, and I was, working for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution
mm-hmm.
in those days.
Mm-hmm.
We could never get it to a vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the kicker as a small alternative to
yeah.
a balanced budget issue.
Yeah, okay. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because later on, when Mark Hatfield makes his historic vote against the balanced budget in 1995.
My bill.
Yeah. Vic did he talked to me about it a little bit, but he also did an oral history about 25 years ago.
Mm.
And he talks about it as being an example of Hatfield sticking to his principles, but Vic really wanted a balanced budget amendment as
yeah.
well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Hatfield was the lone vote that stopped it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing time. The 1979 session comes to an end, and then Paul Volcker decides to raise interest rates and start whipping inflation and all those things, and the economy starts tumbling in Oregon. When were you elected to Congress? When did you leave the Oregon legislature?
I think it was 82.
82, okay. Okay, so there's after the 79 regular session, then there's a series of special sessions to rebalance the budget,
mm-hmm.
And then after you leave is when things really, no, actually, because you're running in 82, so that 82,
yeah.
there's the long special session,
yeah.
you know, those kinds of things. In January of 1982 was the long special session that started in January. Then people took a break while committees worked out exactly what you were going to do. Then people came back, and so it ended up being officially 37 days, but it was actually like 45, 46 days long. Were you involved in the negotiations of that?
I don't recall that I was.
Okay.
I think I was running.
So you were already focusing on Congress
yeah,
and
yeah.
getting that going. Yeah, because the primary would have been coming up and
right,
all that
right.
kind of stuff. Yeah. The reason I ask is talking to Republicans and Democrats, for instance, Hardy Myers, who was the Speaker, Paul Hanneman, who was the House leader, they don't recall the Atiyah people coming to them ahead of time and saying, here's what we're going to do, which was Vic's normal pattern. Work everything out with the leadership and
right.
then have try to have a focus session. So
no, I don't recall that either.
Don't recall any of that?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else stick out while you were in the Oregon legislature and Vic was governor?
Well, only as looking back, you have a more accurate idea of
mm-hmm.
what happened.
Mm-hmm.
While it's happening, you can't evaluate it so well.
Yeah.
But as we look back, it was a very successful time for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And for Vic.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked out our issues, not based upon more money, but based upon the income the state was receiving at the time.
Right.
So while there was not a balanced budget in effect, no one wanted to pass legislation that caused increase in taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a wonderful perspective because you were in the majority in the Congress working with Clinton in something that eventually led to balanced budgets. And then you were also, you know, doing the same kind of thing. You talked about the leverage when Vic got into the governor's office, dealing with the Democratic majorities in the Oregon legislature. Is in your thinking about that, was the success because the two parties were had to come to some kind of compromise, or was it just the times driving things?
You mean in Congress?
Well, in both, in both. So it may be that you have different answers for both of them.
Well, in the legislature, I think the times just dictated the action.
Okay. It was the recession that was focusing people.
Right.
Yeah.
In Congress, it was terribly partisan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Republican and you were in the minority, you were in the minority. You
yeah.
made no decisions.
Yeah.
That's why I enjoyed my last term as chairman of the Ag Committee, because we gained the majority.
Yeah.
No, Vic was, you know, I don't think Vic was appreciated as much while, and that's true of anybody, while he was governor until afterwards,
mm-hmm.
when they looked back and saw comparisons and the state of the union and the issues that were involved,
mm-hmm.
because they realized that he was a steady hand of experience and of bipartisanship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, looking back, I've talked to both Barbara Roberts and Ted Kulongoski, who were in the legislature, you know, where Barbara was Secretary of State and
right.
in the legislature, and they both have exactly the same view.
Really?
You know, Barbara feels that her governorship got out of control, and she, talking to her, I haven't pegged her down on it, but it seems that she thinks her staff got out of control.
Hmm. Interesting.
Whereas Kulongoski, because after the 1982 election, mm-hmm. it's not that he and Vic were mad at each other, they just didn't have anything to do with each other. That
right.
was a brutal election. But when Ted became governor, he started picking up the phone and calling Vic, and they actually bonded very, very well.
Oh, darn. I didn't know.
Last 10 years of Ted's Vic's life.
Yeah.
But it's just fascinating that everybody's kind of looking back at that.
Huh.
I don't know that I'll be able to talk to John Kitzhaber, but
no.
It'd be great to get his perspective as
Would
well.
Be.
While you were in Congress, there were a couple of things that you were Congress was working on and the state was working on, most notably the Columbia Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
You opposed that legislation. It looked like you thought it was the wrong way to go about doing whatever they were doing.
Now, which Columbia Gorge are you?
The scenic area.
I didn't like the identification of the scenic area because it restricted private.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise
mm-hmm.
In doing so, and I thought that was a negative. And it was a negative for Oregon, while the rest of the country thought it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't impact them. That's what happens to you when you're in a small state in the minority.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see dynamics like that dealing with BPA and things like that?
Well, all the time. The whole idea of the management of public lands was very important to Oregon, since a majority of the lands are public in our state ownership. But to the rest of the country, it was theirs.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult to protect what was private use of public lands in Oregon against the overall view of the rest of the country that protected, set it aside, it doesn't bother us.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Yeah.
And it was a battle all the way. It still is, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just this morning I was hearing a, I think it's a county commissioner on the Washington side of the Columbia Gorge, who was talking about something, saying, you know, we got to protect property rights, and it's the same discussion going on all the time.
And, you know, when they finally stopped us from harvesting trees in this state, it has really impacted our state, and we haven't recovered since.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I followed it, but for this, I'm following it, going deeply into it. It's like when the timber industry blew up in 1982, we came up with triage, and that's still where we are. Then the spotted owl comes like 3 years later and just keeps it at that level.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it.
And the marbled murrelet.
Yeah, yeah. When I was talking to Pat Amadeo, the state could only really control the state forest, which is small. And the Reagan administration was coming up with ideas on how to manage the national forest land, the BLM, all those kinds of things. Were you involved at all in talking with the Reagan administration people about how, what they were going to do? Or were they just off on their own?
No.
They were just off doing their thing. Because as I'm tracing it through, it's also, it doesn't look like, Hatfield or Packwood was able to have much impact on them either.
No, I don't think he was either.
So, fascinating that a bunch of Californians and Coloradans are running roughshod over another western state.
That's right.
Yeah, Pat found that frustrating because no matter what they did with the state lands, the federal land, in effect, was becoming more and more locked up. And
sure.
Yeah.
And the state lands were minimal.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else stick out to you about your relationship with Vic and Oregon while you were in the legislature? I mean, this is it's just your first two terms in the House.
Yeah. Well, only that I didn't realize how important it was to be good friends with the governor until he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And we got along very well. I don't remember of any issues between us. And remember that during that time, the Senate was still Democratic.
Right.
So you had a Republican House and a Democratic Senate
and
a Republican governor.
Yeah.
Well, you think you should work together? What choice do you have?
Yeah.
There are no choices.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing. In Vic's career, he was never in the majority. 20 years in the legislature, he was always in the minority. And
right.
He had a Democratic legislature while he was in governorship.
Yeah.
So we talk about his bipartisanship, but what other choice did he have?
That's right. What is there? What's left?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So talk to me about Vic as an ex-governor.
Well, we both belong to this old-timers organization, and we'd meet once a year and enjoy each other's short time in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd recall issues and review a great friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd always look forward to seeing Vic, who I considered a special friend, and he me.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about the history of Oregon and what happened and what's going to happen. So we always enjoyed each other, although I didn't see him more often than that, really.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in another world in Portland, and I was in another world in Congress.
Yeah. That reminds me of another part of Vic. Did you deal much with the tribes? I mean, you have several large groups that were in your district, congressional district.
I did, because I felt responsible
mm-hmm.
for a majority of the tribes, really.
Yeah.
And I lived and was raised just outside of Paiute Camp
mm-hmm.
in Burns.
Mm-hmm.
My father took care of the Indians without any costs. He was the only doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up wanting to help and serve people that were poor and destitute.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked out for tribes. In fact, there was the tribe in southern Oregon across the mountains over here was trying to get a gambling casino, and I helped him do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you have any interactions with Vic over any of that?
I don't recall any.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Because he had a close relationship with the tribes. Warm Springs is the one that really they bonded.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of his prized possessions, which we now have in the archive, is his lifetime fishing license for the Warm Springs Reservation.
Oh, but yeah. No, I used to kid him a lot. I said, I don't know how you can still be alive in this state with that name and be Syrian on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kidding.
Yeah.
But he was.
Yeah. It's fascinating as I get into this, because when he was in office, nobody really thought of him as, it wasn't even an issue, even with Iran blowing up, Denny Miles never even polled for it. Just to make sure. But digging down just a little bit, he was very proud of his Syrian heritage.
Yes.
One of the things I've used in my classes, we have all his things from his several times as a delegate to the National Republican Convention. And there's great handwritten notes. He would go to the platform committee every time and argue that Israel shouldn't be the only thing in the Middle East. We need to have more. And it, of course, went nowhere.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just, my students' eyes get kind of big.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there we go. But it was below the surface. You just didn't see
that's
it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and we didn't have the public awareness of the Israeli versus Arab issues at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So anything else?
No, I wish I had more. I would share with you, but
did you ever go fishing with him? Do any of those things?
No.
Okay.
No. Never did. Never went hunting with him or fishing with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an important fishing trip with Lynn Newbury, actually.
Did he?
Where Vic drank too much, and he never really drank much again, ever.
Yeah, I remember that fishing trip.
Yeah.
I was on it myself.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed visiting with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing what you're doing for Victor.
Yeah. No. I hope the book comes out next year.
Yeah.
But books are books, so.
Yeah, who knows?
Yep.
I hope it makes $1 million for you.
Yeah.
What do you teach?
I teach politics.
Do you?
Yep. So, I do equally international relations and American politics. So this is a wonderful project because, you know, by the time he gets to his second term, he's spending so much time traveling to Asia and, you know, a little bit to the Middle East and those things. And yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, well, good.
Great. Well, I'm down here helping my father, Tam Moore.